So this first question is from Yang Jingcheng from China. A wife hands a knife to her hunter husband, who then goes hunting. The wife does not break the precept because her intention is to comply with her husband's command. สักครู่นะคะเหมือนมีคนลบคำถามไป Okay. So let me begin the question again. เดี๋ยวขออนุญาตเริ่มต้นคำถามภาษาอังกฤษใหม่นะคะ A wife hands a knife to her hunter husband, who then goes hunting. The wife does not break the precept because her intention is to comply with her husband's command. She has no intention of killing. But suppose I am staying at a friend's house.And my friend enjoys hunting for recreation. He asks me to hand him his bow and arrows so that he can go hunting. Unlike the previous case, I have no obligation to comply with my friend's request. I respectfully ask Long Pa to advise me on how I should direct my mind correctly in such a situation so that I don't break the precept.
Firstly, Anumodhana, that you have this determination to keep the five precepts very well and to a refined level. So you've read in the suttas about the wife of the hunter, Chula Supata, whoThe Buddha praised as one who had gone to the stream of Nibbana, as in attained to Sotapanna. And so her husband was a hunter who would go and kill animals for their living in order to support the household. So Chula Supata would have to prepare the food for the husband, the hunter, and to also to prepare the weapons for him. And so the monks heard about this and wondered if it was possible that one could do this, one could be attained and also prepare the food and prepare weapons like that. And so the Buddha asked Chula Supata, the wife, what were your thoughts when you're preparing the food and the weapons like that?And she said that was the duty of the wife to do this, but in her mind, she had no intention, no determination or wish or thought for those beings to be harmed or any. So she was doing the duty to the husband, but she did not have any delight at all at the husband hunting or killing living beings. And she also had, the family also had children as well. And there was the occasion where the Buddha was freeing the animals that were being released.To release that were caught in the trap of the hunter. And when that hunter saw this, he was upset and took his bow and arrow to shoot the Buddha. But he tried to shoot and the arrow wouldn't release, no matter how he tried. And the wife at home was wondering why the husband was late coming home. And so she set out, had a bad feeling about it, and set out to see and saw the husband trying to shoot the Buddha. And she shouted out, "That's my father, don't shoot my father." And this husband hunter had never seen her father before. And so he changed his mind and stopped had that intention to shoot the arrow to the Buddha. And so after this, his mind became more subdued, and it was appropriate to listen to the Dhamma. And so the Buddha gave the Dhamma, and the hunter was able to attain to Dhamma, becoming a noble being. So this shows that his barami, his perfections were ready to hear and to attain. And so the wife, she had come actually from a very rich family, but she had seen the hunter, the husband in the market, and fell in love and eloped with the hunter. And so that she could see the Dhamma showed that she had a lot of barami as well, and she had no intention at all for the husband to kill any living beings. And so for your question about staying at a friend's house, you do have to be a bit more can say well-mannered, because you're staying at someone else's place, and but you also don't want to actively participate in any hunting, nor to help in that. And so you do have to be quite careful, because the mind is quite quick and can sort of change. And so if you to give the weapon to the friend, and then having some delight in that the friend is going to hunt, to do bad deeds, then that would be wrong. It wouldn't be breaking the five precepts, because you don't have the intention to kill the living being, and you're not doing it yourself, so the animal isn't dying from your own actions. But you have to use sort of skillful ways in order to go about this. So the friend may ask you to hand the weapon, but you may have to use your own wisdom. For instance, maybe at that time then you kind of pretend you don't hear, and then go off to the toilet, go somewhere else, try to evade the situation. And then they'll should be able to understand that you don't want to do that, you don't want to pass that weapon to them. And so that maybe is better manners than just refusing straight on, or telling them very directly. So you're using your mindfulness and wisdom so that you're not supporting their act. And if you did sort of delight in them that they were killing, or they're delighting with the food that they make from the killing of those living beings, then that would be unskillful and unwholesome mind states there then, and the mind would be not at ease. So you do have to be careful with that. And also being careful, or if possible, then evading, not associating with friends who want to kill and take enjoyment in killing. You're trying to find sort of skillful methods then in order to avoid those situations, and not feeling at ease at all that others are doing this, or your friend is doing these actions, and you're trying to develop this metta, goodwill and compassion as well, and also act with mindfulness. And so in the mind, if you have to pass the sort of weapon, or you can also make a kind of determination that may none of them die, and any animals die from this weapon, may they be safe from any harm and dangers. And if you're able to, then you can say that to them, or slowly, gradually say it to them, and that may be able to pull them in the way of coming back to having morality and precepts. You can try to gradually speak them, and if you are able to have them improve, then that is your merit.
Dear Longpo Anan, thank you so much for your guidance once again. I cannot thank you enough. Sadhu. May I ask for your guidance on the phrase, there's no desire for growth in the Ratana Sutta? What does it mean? How can we work towards having no desire for growth? Is it through renunciation and purification?
So the word here is chanta, which is desire or satisfaction, delight. And so here it says in the Ratana Sutta, no chanda, no sort of desire for growth. It says in the translation, growth here meaning any type of birth in any realm or existence. And so there's this delight and satisfaction with the aramana, the forms, forms, sounds, odors, tastes, tactile sensations, mental objects. And one has delight and satisfaction in them. And so this is a mind that is of the realm of the sensual realm. Then higher than this, there's the rupa realms, arupa realms, which is accessed by those who have jhana or who pass away with jhana. And so this delight in existence, in birth, then this goes according to the refinement of one's mind. And so if one has merit and goodness, then they can be reborn in the human realms or the deva, the divine realms. If it's more and more refined mind states, merit, barami, then they're reborn in the from the four great kings at Chatumaharajika, Tawatingsa, and then higher the Yama, Tusita realms, and so on. And above this, there's the Brahma realms, which is for those with jhana, and the higher of those Brahma realms, depending on the state of the refinement of the mind. And there's more and more refined happiness as one goes upwards. If the mind goes lower, then there's the animal realm, and lower there's the hungry ghosts and the asura realm. And if there's a lot of suffering, then that's the hell realms. So this is all up to the mind. And so in the chant, saying that there's no more chanda or desire there, it's no more desire at all for any rebirth, any realm, any existence. And that's the cessation, the ending of all the kilesas, the mental defilements, and the mind is pure. And so then there is no more next realm or existence for that individual. So as a lay person who has a household life, then can you have that true goal or that highest goal of having no more chanta, no more desire for birth? And so to have a household life, then you don't have to ordain as monastics. You may have a husband or a wife, but you have this determination to bring up true benefit in the present, and you can live a wholesome life, have a good, right livelihood. You're able to maintain good mind states, have sincerity and truth in your hearts. You are able to avoid the paths of ruin and decline. You can associate with good friends, kalyanamita. You're able to use your money, your income in moderation. You don't use it excessively. You know how to live a good and wholesome life. And if you have then higher than this, higher goals than this, then you're able to practice generosity, self-sacrifice, keep the sila, the precepts, you have wisdom, you have faith, and you know from, you can separate out from good and bad deeds. You're able to keep 5 precepts or 8 precepts. Mm-hmm. One day, one night, you're able to abandon then all the forms of decline or unwholesome, unskillful states. You are determined to meditate in order to bring the mind to peace. And you are able to have mindfulness and wisdom with your earnings in your life. So this wisdom is important, and it's important to know between skillfulness and unskillfulness. This requires wisdom. And if then you have the highest goal in life, then you are very determined to practice in order to train to develop the higher precepts, the higher mind or citta, and the higher wisdom, which you have a very firm foundation in sila, in the precepts. And you're practicing at this time on a meditation retreat, then you have this highest goal for this period of time. You have that aspiration to abandon all delight, all desire for any birth during this time. You put down all your mobile phones and cut off all exterior things, and you're able to keep the 5 precepts, the 8 precepts, and you're training the mind to abandon all the mental hindrances in order to be able to get the mind to peace. You are training in developing this mindfulness and wisdom, training to be able to understand into anicca, dukkha, anatta. And this is like you have the highest goal for this 9-day meditation retreat. And you're trying to... And so also then, whatever level that you're at, there may be others who are at a lower level than you, but you still rejoice with all the goodness that they're making. And those that are higher than you, you also rejoice at their goodness as well. And so you have a heart that has this metta, goodwill at all times, and you're slowly developing your mind gradually like this. And until it's able then to get to the highest goal, where you're able to abandon all desire for any more birth in this round of samsara, this cycle of birth and death. And you're doing it gradually as well, keeping at it consistently. So you develop it this life, and then next life you continue to develop it again until you can get to that state where you have abandoned all desire for any more birth or growth.